to you, all to you.
Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and do a work in every life in here. That you would take the words that I'm about to speak and, Father, deliver it to the hearts and minds of every person in this room. Have your way, Lord. Have your way this morning. May nothing hinder the work that you want to do here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can y'all hear me all right? I've got a red light. Can everybody hear me? If not, I'll just shout louder or make everybody move up to the front. As I was thinking about this week and, you know, I've had several messages on my, and you're not pleased with it, you don't go back to that car wash, right? I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of how many people go to church week after week, yet they don't come out clean. They don't come out changed. They're the same person that when they come through those doors, when they leave, nothing's changed. God's not spoke to them. They've not felt any change. They're just showing up for church. You know, we wouldn't pay to go to a car wash to get our car clean if it wasn't doing this job. But yet, week after week, we have people going to church, going to church, going to church, and nothing ever changes in their life. There's no real change. They might laugh. They might get entertained. There might be, you know, they feel a little less guilty, but there's no deep down real change in their life. You know, yesterday, Keaton and Hayden and me were sitting down here at CV's giving away puppies. And the last puppy, after I gave it away, I think it was the last one. It might have been the one before the last one. Keaton looked at me and laughed and smiled. And he said, "You know, Pete, you're a pretty good salesman. I got rid of all them puppies in 1 hour and 5 minutes." And he laughed. He said, "You're a pretty good salesman." But you know, I thought about that. And I thought, you know, there's a certain element of being a preacher and being a salesman. But y'all, I don't want to be a salesman. I don't want to sit up here and just try and sell you something. I want God to do a work in your life. Not be up here trying to convince you. I want the Holy Spirit to move and change you so that we don't just laugh. We don't just smile. We don't just get our check mark for church. We don't just drive through the car wash, but there's a real change in our life. That when we leave here, God is speaking to our hearts. God's speaking to our minds. The Holy Spirit's telling you something. Something needs to change. Something needs to be different. Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Consuming. When I think of consuming, I think of everything. God's taking care of everything in a fire. He's burning up all that garbage in your life, all that junk. Matthew 3:11 says, "I baptize you with water for repentance." Hopefully you've all repented. Hopefully you've all been baptized. "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That's Jesus he was talking about. Now he comes baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. God's a consuming fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your life being changed. Not just coming in here week after week, week after week. Same old, nothing's new, nothing changes. I'm still fighting with my spouse. I'm still angry with my kids. I still hate my job. I still have no joy. We just come and get our check mark. We just come and spray off the hood a little bit. You know what I found with car washes? If you have a black vehicle, you understand. Car washes don't do that great a job with black vehicles. When my car looks the best is when I get a sponge and a bucket of soap and I scrub it. And I do some work to it. And then with a black car, you just can't let it drip dry either. What you gotta do? You gotta hand dry that thing. It's a lot of work getting it to where it needs to be. Sometimes we just want to go through the drive-through car wash because we're tired, because we're lazy, whatever. Some of us at church, we treat it the same way. We're just coming in. We're tired. We're lazy. Pete, tell me a good sermon. Tell me a good story. Make me laugh. And I'm good. But there's never a change. When God says, I'm a consuming fire, I'm coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That means a change. That means something different. John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within. I heard that verse earlier in the week and it convicted me so much. Streams of living water flowing from within? God doesn't describe me. What's wrong? Does it describe you this morning? Is there streams of living water coming out of you? Is it a consuming fire that the Lord Jesus Christ has control of your life and there's nothing impure, there's none of that garbage that you're concerned about, that you're only concerned about your Father in heaven, and those streams of living water are flowing from you, that you're just full of that joy, full of that hope, full of that peace, full of that faith at all moments. As I watch you guys on Sunday mornings and I see daydreaming, I see boredom, I see even sometimes sleepers. It happens. I understand. It's a different view up here. But then I see sometimes people listening intently. Sometimes, rarely, but sometimes I'll even see someone write something down. You know, in the youth group, there's one young lady. And every Wednesday night, she has her notepad and her pen. And almost the entire time while I'm speaking, she's writing stuff down, writing stuff down. She's scrubbing with a sponge. She's hand drying the car. She wants a change. She believes in the consuming fire and the power of the Holy Spirit and the living water. She wants that in her life. Do we want that? Or are we concerned about lunch? Are we concerned about how quick the message can come and how quick I can get out of here? Week after week, we come to church. We come to church. It just seems like it was last Sunday and we're already here again. Life is going by, but is there ever any change? Is there ever any impact from being here? 1 Peter 3:9 says, I can find it. I lied. I wrote down the wrong verse. It's a royal priesthood. Why am I not finding? God calls us a royal priesthood, right? And now I'm not finding it. Okay, I'm just going to go on. Boy, it's been a long time since I've done that. 2:9. I don't know why I wrote down 3:9. There it is, right where I had the page mark. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Okay, the real reason why read that is because what did it say? You. Okay? So we're about to go someplace, but I want you to understand it says you are a royal priesthood. So when we go to these next scriptures, I don't want you to think about Pete. I want you to think about you because that's what the Bible just calls you. Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. And see, I think that this is part of the problem with what's going on with our churches today, okay? Malachi 1, 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. Okay, so we're not thinking about Pete. We're not thinking about the Catholic priest here. I want you to think about you, okay? Because it says you are a royal priesthood. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible when you bring blind animals for sacrifice. Is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hand. Will he accept, says the Lord Almighty? You're saying, Pete, what are you talking about? We don't offer animals anymore. No, but our body now is a living sacrifice for God. We are a royal priesthood. And offering blame, lame, crippled animals, that's giving God our second best. How many of us are giving God the leftovers at the end of the day? We're giving God our second best. And then we wonder why we don't have the blessings of God. We wonder why we don't hear the Holy Spirit guiding us. We wonder why we come to church week after week and we try and we try and we try, but nothing ever changes in our life. Are we really giving God our best? Or is God getting the leftovers? Church, this ain't just, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me this morning. Because how often does God get my leftovers? Does God get my second best? You know, I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I have to work. I have to earn money. And boy, I want a little bit of entertainment in my life too. Dang. God just keeps getting pushed further and further and further down on the list. And then I pray, oh God, bless me. Oh God, bless the church. Oh God, help us to grow. God, help me to... And he's like, you're not even seeking me. You're not even looking for instructions. You're driving through the quick car wash because you don't want to take the time to scrub. You don't want to take the time to dig in. Verse 10 says, oh, that one of you would shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. Those verses right there is why I went to this. I just kept thinking about that. God, how many of us are just lighting useless fires week after week when we show up for church? But there's never a change. We're not really coming here to get changed. We're not really coming here to hear a word from God. We're coming out here out of guilt. We're coming out of here for relationships, for friendships. We're not really coming to hear from the Lord. Can I tell y'all something? If we're not coming here to hear from God, if we're not coming here to seek Him, why are we here? I mean, really, we should shut the lights down and just go. How many of us, though, our heart's really not in it? Just week after week, oh, better go to church. I hurt Pete's feelings. Yeah, you will. Better come to church. Check mark. Not expecting anything. It's a rainy Sunday morning. Boy, I'd rather stay in bed. I told Crystal last night, I said, we're going to have a small crowd in the morning because there's going to be storms. Why? Because when it's raining, it's hard to get out of bed, right? And we'll look for any excuse we can. But it's crazy to me, in third world countries, a minister is coming, an evangelist is coming, and people will walk in dirt and mud miles and miles. And they'll sit all day listening. I heard this preacher talking here a while back, and he went to do like a 2 or 3 day Bible study, and said the people wouldn't let him go. They ended up going 24 hours a day, because nobody wanted to leave. They said, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. They were so hungry for God's Word. Verse 11 says, my name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by asking of the Lord's table. It is defiled. And of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden! And you sniff at it with contemptuously saying, the Lord Almighty. Church has become a burden. Offerings are a burden. Giving of yourself. God gets a little bit of the leftover. You know, I don't talk about tithing and offerings that much. And maybe I'll have to answer for that someday, because it leaves such a bad taste in so many people's mouths. You guys know I'm not about money. You know the church isn't about money. We don't even take up offering anymore. God's our provider, right? But can I tell you something? You are missing out. You are missing out if you don't give God of the first fruits. You are missing out if you're not giving God your best, whether it's in tithes of money, tithes of time, tithes of service. You're missing out on God's best for your life. Why? What a burden! You know, I was telling y'all about the bachelor party at my house the other night for the young kid, and we had his wedding last night. Before we came, oh, my Saturday's tied up and I gotta go do this wedding. What a burden! How do I expect God to bless me when I'm acting like that? Instead of, God, thank you that I get an opportunity to minister to this young couple. Thank you, God. Our attitudes, our hearts, what a burden. Church is, what a burden. Hearing Pete preach again. Another sermon. He's just up there selling another useless product to me. It's not useless. It's life-changing if we'll get hungry for it. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is a cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You know, how many of you, if you have money and your kid, it's their birthday or Christmas and there's some toy that they've wanted. Oh, and it's one of them toys that's a hot item and they've just been so excited and it's only $5. But you say, you know what, I seen one of those that was broke laying in the trash can over there and let me go get that out. And then you wrap it up and you give it to your kid on Christmas morning, a broke toy that you could afford to buy, but you just thought, eh, how many of y'all would do that? I mean, nobody would do that. If you can afford it and your kids want it, most of us are going to do everything we can for our kids. Most of us, even when we can't afford it, we do more than we should for our kids, right? We want them to have the best. We want them to have more than we had. But God is a great God. But how many of us are giving Him our broken toys and our leftovers and not our best? Church, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself. Because God's been speaking to me. Rivers of living water flowing. God, I don't see it. What's going on? Pete, you're giving me your leftovers. You're not giving me your best anymore. Will He accept it? Would He accept your offering today? Church, we can't go on giving God our second best, our leftovers, and then wonder why our lives change. Why week after week, week after week, we come to church and we're the same when we go to work. We're the same attitudes. We got the same anger issues. We got the same sin issues. He's a consuming fire, streams of living water, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. Mark, I'm going to read two verses here. Mark 1:40 says, "A man with leprosy came to Him and begged Him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' He said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured." What did the man do? He came on his knees, came crying out. He was desperate. He was desperate because without Jesus, he was not going to be clean. Leprosy, there's no cure. So without Jesus, he was desperate. And what did Jesus say? "I am willing. I am willing." Can I tell you something? God is willing this morning. Jesus is willing for you right now to come and He'll make you clean. And He'll give you that passion. He'll give you that desire. But we can't expect it if we're giving God our second best. If we're giving God our leftovers. That man was desperate. Something had to change. You know, I was preaching to the youth a few weeks ago. And the message to them was, can God trust you? Can God trust you? And what I was saying by that is, when things are good, can God trust you to still follow Him? See, when things are bad and there's problems and financial, marriage, jobs, whatever, sickness, boy, we're on our knees. We're crying out, "God help me, God help me." Here this man was desperate, but I was telling the youth when he was talking to the Israelites coming into the promised land, and he says, when your bellies are full and when you're in this land and homes you did not build and gardens and vineyards you did not plant and life's good, don't forget about me. See, I think some of us, we're just not desperate for God anymore. Oh, we got a little bit of hiccup in our life. We got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Here this man was crying out, and God says, "I'm willing. Be clean." And he was clean. See, this morning I believe that God wants people crying out for Him. And then those problems and then those things in your life, He can take care of. Be clean. He wants to do our work. He wants to do a work in our lives. That fresh touch. Maybe this morning we need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It's funny, we was in Ephesians 5 in Sunday school, and that's a verse that stood out to me there yesterday when I was studying. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Do you feel the Holy Spirit's guidance in your life each and every day? Acts 13:52 says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." They were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of us feel the Holy Spirit filling our lives each and every day? Yesterday, we got those storms rolling in, and about 3 a.m. they woke us up, and you can just hear the rain coming and the wind blowing. Crystal goes, "Oh, Pete, we forgot to take down the umbrella." We got one of them umbrellas outside for a little bit of shade. And I said, "I'm not going out there now. It's raining too hard. It's 3 a.m. If it blows off, it blows off." Saturday morning I got up and I was studying by myself, and the umbrella was still sitting there, and it's in between a metal table. And the wind started blowing again. You know, that umbrella has no life. It's just a dead object. But when the wind fills it, you know what that stupid umbrella did? I was sitting in my lazy boy, I clicked down the thing, I thought I need to take care of that umbrella, and right when I stood up, you know what that umbrella did? Took the metal table and everything. And it goes flying. Why? Because the wind filled it. And it soared. Can I tell you something? Some of us were working so hard. And really, we need to just be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we can soar. Then we can take off. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I preached a sermon years ago. And I had a glove up here. And that glove has no life, but when you put a hand in it, what happens? It becomes useful and it begins to move and begins to be used. Some of us, we just need to get out of the way and quit giving God our second best and allow the Holy Spirit to come in, allow the consuming fire to come in once again and begin to guide and direct us. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, what happens is so many of us, we're not led by the Spirit. We're still led by the carnal nature. We're still led by the flesh. When what we really need is the consuming fire of God to come and baptize us with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can soar once again, so that life is not dull and boring, and we're not just coming to church week after week with no change. But the Holy Spirit is being fed when you come here. The Holy Spirit is being fed when you open up the Word of God. So that there's life in you once again. Verse 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Does that describe you? I mean, are you so full of love that if I went to your work and asked your coworkers, how would you describe? Would they say, oh man, he's the most loving guy I know. Oh, he's so full of joy. You can't shake him. Peace. It don't matter what comes at him. He's full of peace and patience. Man, I've never seen a person with as much patience as him. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, you just described dot, dot, dot. Todd? Don't answer that. See, most of us, that doesn't describe us. Oh, there might be one of those. They're a kind person. You know, oh, they're patient. But checking off all those? But that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And the Bible just says, be filled with the Spirit. Church, I hope the Holy Spirit has ministered to you this morning. And maybe you're thinking a little bit about the life that you're living. And maybe you're thinking about a little bit about week after week, nothing's changed. And maybe this morning, You need to just cry out to God because He's willing. The man with leprosy says, Jesus, I know You can if You're willing. And He says, I'm willing. Be clean. Last verses here, it says, Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you know that Jesus still forgives today? Amen. He still forgives, and He'll forgive you. He'll forgive me this morning. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that God's given us. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you this, the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
If someone laid $1 million right here and said, Pete, that's for you. And I left it. I said, I don't really need it. I like my job. I like living paycheck to paycheck. I don't want that $1 million. And it just is sitting right here. God would say, Pete, you're an idiot. Take that money and keep your job. Do something with it. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children. It's for you this morning. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. The Holy Spirit is real. The fruit of the Spirit is real. If we quit giving God our second best and give Him our best and say, pour out Your Spirit on me and allow the Holy Spirit to take control. And then maybe instead of church being a burden, instead of church being a duty, And instead of maybe when people describe you, full of anger, full of hate, full of resentment, full of all that bad, that they're going to start seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And they're going to say, man, something's different about you. And when we come to church, we're going to be hungry and we're going to be fed and we're going to be listening intently because the Holy Spirit is churning and the Holy Spirit is directing and the Holy Spirit is guiding us. And then we're not going to want to give God the cripple and the leftover, but we're going to want to give God our best. Why? Because we love Him. Because He's such a good God. And how much He's given us. The forgiveness of sins, the cleansing, the washing. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I pray for forgiveness. Lord, forgiveness for all the times that I've given You my second best, my third best, my leftovers, all the times that I've felt like ministry, I felt like serving You was just a burden. Father, forgive me. Father, I pray for a fresh touch this morning, a fresh anointing in our lives. Lord, Your Word says that the Holy Spirit It's a gift for us today. Father, Your Word said that the man says, if You're willing, You said, I am willing, be clean. And Father, right now, I believe there's some here this morning that need a fresh touch, that they need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, that they need a fresh cleansing. Lord, I believe You're willing. May their hearts open this morning. May pride not keep them away from what You have for them. May Satan, who's whispering and trying to make them feel foolish, Lord, I pray right now that they'd hear no other voice than Your Holy Spirit, than Your voice speaking to them, and that they would act in accordance with what You say. That there would be repentance. That there would be cleansing. That there would be filling of the Holy Spirit, that we would soar once again, Your word says, soar on wings of eagles. May there be rivers of living water flowing out of each and every one of us. May we not leave here this morning till things are settled and we know that we know we're hearing your voice and we're walking in obedience. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If any of you need prayer for anything, won't you come? And if you need a fresh touch, whatever it is, just don't miss this opportunity.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
My prayer is that each one of you this week would be desperate for God. Each and every day in your life, that you'd be desperate to hear the Holy Spirit's guidance. That you would listen intently. And that the fruit of the Holy Spirit would overflow. Just like that umbrella took off when the wind took underneath it. That the Holy Spirit would just fill each one of us and that we would just take off this week full of God's presence each and every day. Bible study tonight at 6:30. See y'all this evening.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken.